Live from Kansas City, site of the 2023 NFL Draft, here is Zach Gelb.
That's what I'm talking about, live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious NFL fan experience at the 2023 NFL Draft in Kansas City. Welcome on in. This is CBS Sports Radio coverage of the first round of the 2023 NFL Draft, and I'm loving me some Kansas City. We had some great barbecue this morning. I had some burnt ends, a bunch of other types of brisket as well. And man, I feel like a fat pig right now after all the food that I did eat. And we also had this carrot cake, cupcake, some cheesy corn, and some baked beans as well, and a bunch of ribs. So we have ate a lot, and now we are ready to take you all the way through the 2023 first round of the NFL Draft. And we have some major news right out of the gate, and that is Lamar Jackson. Finally, the waiting is over, and Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens, have found a way to come to a contract extension, 5 years, $260 million with $185 million guaranteed. And now the big question is, can the Baltimore Ravens go out there and win a Super Bowl? Because I've been someone that has been advocating for Lamar Jackson to get a new contract. I think Lamar Jackson is a great quarterback in the NFL. Now, clearly the last 2 years, he's not been able to stay healthy, and we've seen the Ravens season come to a close, unfortunately, with him not on the field. But now you get the big question out of the way of, is Lamar going to be back in Baltimore? And for a while, I was not thinking this day was going to happen. And I'll even go back to last year when we were broadcasting Las Vegas for the 2022 NFL Draft, and we were in Vegas for the NFL Draft. It was one of those situations where it looked like Lamar Jackson was annoyed and agitated at the Baltimore Ravens. And then we go a year later, and all throughout the offseason so far, it did not seem like he was thrilled. But I'll take you back to 2 days ago when Lamar Jackson sends out that ambiguous, cryptic sort of message where it was, okay, what is the gift? I think it was a SpongeBob SquarePants actually gift that he did tweet out. And right when I saw that, I said, wouldn't it be pretty fitting if we end up seeing Lamar Jackson overtake the NFL draft once again, like he kind of did last year when he was tweeting out how annoyed he was at the organization when he knew that they were trading away Marquise Hollywood Brown. And here we go today where we get the news that Lamar Jackson is going to be back with the Baltimore Ravens. And once again, I said earlier, I'll say it again, now comes down to, can he go out there and can he find a way to win a championship? Because he's taken this league by storm. He has been a great player. He's been a unanimous MVP. But the biggest knock on Lamar, outside of him staying healthy, because that has been a problem, even someone that is a Lamar Jackson guy, is can he go out there and have success in the postseason? And he's only had one postseason win. You take that back to the comeback up against Tennessee before they went to Buffalo. And unfortunately, Lamar Jackson gets a concussion in that game, and they're not able to beat the Buffalo Bills. But you look around the league right now, and I'm not just saying this so everyone gives me a nice little high five because we're in Kansas City, but the NFL right now runs through the Kansas City Chiefs, and more importantly, the AFC runs through the Kansas City Chiefs. So for Lamar, you are now in a conference where not only do you have Patrick Mahomes, who is everyone's dream in the NFL. Like we're here at the draft. Everyone that is picking a quarterback tonight would love if whoever they select is like 65, 70% of what Patrick Mahomes has done already in the NFL with the two Lombardi trophies, with the two Super Bowl MVPs, the two league MVPs, and he's been to three Super Bowls. But now Lamar Jackson is in even a tougher AFC than where it was just last year when, unfortunately, he got hurt and he could not finish out the season with the Baltimore Ravens. You have Lamar Jackson. You have Joe Burrow. You go through, you have Josh Allen. You have Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, now Aaron Rodgers jumping into the fold in the AFC. Can Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, can those guys have bounce back seasons? So it is as tough as ever, not only because of Patrick Mahomes, but the rest of the dominant quarterbacks in the AFC to just get to the Super Bowl and then also win the Lombardi Trophy. Like, as much as Mahomes has taken the league by storm and he's been a tremendous player, and he's the best player in the NFL. Look at the way that Kansas City has even struggled, which is a weird thing to say, to get those two championships with how many times they really have had to make you have a heart attack when you had to come from behind in these resilient games. So for Lamar now, he needs to go get a Super Bowl championship. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say he can't do it. He can't do it just because of these shortcomings in his young NFL career. And I just want to remind a lot of people, I'm not saying Lamar is John Elway. That would be crazy. That would be nonsense. But it took John Elway forever to just get one Super Bowl victory, and he eventually got two before he rode off into the sunset. Even look at the great Peyton Manning, who we all know, number 18, and I know it better than anybody, and I'm not just doing this to get under the skin of my producer, Hot Take Hickey, which, yeah, I'm probably am doing that. It took Peyton Manning a while to get his first ring, and he had to overcome the buildings of a dynasty with Tom Brady, with Bill Belichick, the great defense and offense that the Patriots did have. And now it's like you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, they are what New England is, and you have to wonder if Lamar is going to be able to navigate that difficult, difficult AFC. And until Lamar Jackson hoists the Lombardi Trophy or gets to a Super Bowl, there are going to be people that are going to say he's not worth the money and he is never going to win a Super Bowl in the NFL. But when you're paying someone, it's the nature of the beast. This is the NFL position of quarterback. This is the quarterback position. If you have someone that you think could be good, and we know Lamar could be great, as the kids would say, you give him the bag. That's what you do. And we just saw what Jalen Hurts got. Jalen Hurts was remarkable last year. In one great year, he got a lucrative deal. Lamar Jackson has been phenomenal, even with the injuries the last 2 years for so many years. You knew if it wasn't from the Ravens, someone else was going to give him the deal. And that's why, even though I did question it a year ago, even though at times this offseason I did question if Lamar Jackson was ever going to get a deal done with the Ravens, not because I didn't think it was worth the money. I just didn't know if the two sides were going to be able to bury the hatchet and all the problems that were happening between the Ravens and then also Lamar Jackson. But here we are today, where cooler heads, and really, let's just be real about it, time did win out here. And the Ravens knew that they couldn't get rid of Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson was sitting back waiting for someone to make him an offer. Remember, no representation, does not have an agent, represents himself, I guess outside his mother, who does play a role in the representation of Lamar Jackson. And no one was biting and jumping at the opportunity to give Lamar Jackson that fully guaranteed deal. And there'll be some people today that are going to say, Lamar Jackson didn't win. Lamar Jackson didn't get the fully guaranteed contract. Sure. But to that, I would say it's a bunch of nonsense because we've only seen one quarterback. I know Kirk Cousins got a 3-year guaranteed deal, but that's only 3 years. We've only seen one quarterback get a contract like what Deshaun Watson had. And you know the NFL and the owners were not going to allow that to be the norm. So when you were waiting and waiting and waiting and slowly waiting for Lamar Jackson to get another team to bite and another team to jump in and find a way to give him an offer, and then would Baltimore match it? Would they give the two first-round picks up for Lamar Jackson? Eventually, I don't want to say it's the 11th hour, but it did feel like it was the 11th hour. The Baltimore Ravens said, here you go, 5 years, $260 million, $185 guaranteed, and now you once again get into that question of, can Lamar Jackson win a Super Bowl? And it is as tough as it's ever been to win a Super Bowl in the NFL, with the disparity and the difference from the great names in the AFC at the quarterback position compared to the NFC, where, let's be real, in the NFC, it is Jalen Hurts, and then it's everybody else when you look at the quarterback position. And it's kind of wild when you look through these quarterbacks, Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Trevor Lawrence, now Aaron Rodgers, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson. You want to go through and throw in Tua Tagovailoa and Deshaun Watson. Whenever you have those quarterbacks and you look at the field of the AFC, there's only 7 spots to get into the postseason. And you know, or you have a feel of who your 4 division winners are probably going to be. Like right now, we've been talking about this for weeks. You would think that the Buffalo Bills are going to win the AFC East. Right now, you would say the Cincinnati Bengals win the AFC North and the South. It is going to be Trevor Lawrence of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And in the West, it's clearly the defending champions and the Kansas City Chiefs. And if that holds true, there's only three spots for the wild card, even with adding in that other wild card spot. So it's who are the other three quarterbacks that will wrap up these seven teams that get into the postseason in the AFC. And I consider and tell you that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens will make the playoffs. But if someone came up and said, no, I don't think Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens make the playoffs this year, it's not an impossible argument to make because there's only seven spots. Like, Hickey, I don't know where you fall on this one, and let me bring you into the conversation here. The division winners that I just said, Bills, Bengals, also the Jaguars, and then the Kansas City Chiefs, you agree with all four of those teams on paper right now?
Yes, sir.
And that's not always means that's the way that it plays out. The other three spots, this is tricky. It is absolutely tricky. You know, I would go Jets. I would go Chargers. You can make a case for the Steelers. You can make a case for the Browns. You can make a case for the Ravens. You know, does Denver find a way to get their act together now with Sean Payton there? Like, there's a bunch of other names. Miami, I know you're a big Dolphins supporter, a part of the Tuanon. So there are a bunch of teams out there that are really vying for the three spots until something unexpected happens where one of those four division winners from a year ago, one of them just doesn't repeat. That opens it up for a division spot, but then whoever doesn't get the division spot will fall into the hopper of teams that go into the wild card. So the view and the question of will Lamar make the playoffs this year, it's tough. It's a tough one because I could just equally as argue in that division, the Steelers or Browns getting in over the Ravens, but it does feel like Lamar and it does feel like Harbaugh that they will get the benefit of the doubt. But now when you pay a quarterback that much money, it's just flat out embarrassing. I don't care how many great quarterbacks are in the AFC and how lopsided it is AFC to NFC in terms of talent. If Lamar doesn't make the playoffs this year, you go from being someone that's going to be clowned around the, you're going to be someone that's getting praised right now to go to being someone that's going to be clowned around the entire NFL. Because you know how we are as fans. We put it on the coach and the quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
9 times out of 10, if we're in studio on a Monday after a busy football Sunday, we are talking, usually that first segment, what quarterback messed up, what quarterback got it right, what coach messed up, what coach got it right. And that's going to be the big thing this year. Can Lamar and can Harbaugh, who made the playoffs last year, can they find a way for Lamar to be healthy? Can they find a way to make the playoffs and also compete for a Super Bowl, which you know is going to be very tough to do with Mahomes and Burrow, just for starters, standing in your way for the foreseeable future?
Absolutely. I mean, look, we talked about the last 2 days in the sense of the Jets. Are they a legitimate playoff contender? Are they a guarantee wild card division winner, et cetera? And now you look at the Ravens. It's like they're, when you take the four division winners out that we both agreed in the AFC and you talk about the three wild card spots, there are legitimately, I think, six teams all very close bunched together that are fighting for three spots. I would put the Chargers in there, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Ravens. And now you're talking about teams that are all lumped together. The Broncos are a team that I am personally high on compared to others.
But you're always high on the Broncos.
But there's legitimately, I would
you
say...
You and everyone in Denver for multiple reasons.
Bare minimum, if we take the Broncos out there, if we take that team that I'm high on...
Even just, before it was legal, by the way.
If we talk about at least a consensus of five teams that everyone feels good about fighting for three spots, we're still talking about a Ravens team that, for me, right now is more likely than not to miss the playoffs. And like I said, now it's, you know, it truly is, forget about playoffs or bust, it's Super Bowl or bust. Now you pay Lamar, and it's a concern that right away we're talking about if they can even just make the playoffs in 2023.
And the other thing is, who else do you add to the fold? Because we are late in the offseason process, right? The
yes.
big names in free agency are pretty much off the board. They were able to land Odell Beckham Jr., who is a big name in terms of coverage, but in terms of on-field production, I can't tell you that Odell Beckham Jr. is a great player in the
right.
league. And I was kind of under the assumption that the Ravens would be a player for DeAndre Hopkins, but as Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk just tweeted out, he's hearing, and Mike is as connected as anybody, but you never know this time of the year where the rumors are coming from and what it's meant to do. But he is hearing that the Cardinals are trying to send the number 3 overall pick and DeAndre Hopkins to the Titans for the number 11 pick plus more. So that could be a potential deal, according to Mike Florio, that is brewing. And if that's the case and the Ravens don't get DeAndre Hopkins, it's like, all right, is the receiver from Minnesota that they drafted in the first round, Justin Bateman,
Rashad Bateman,
I confused him with Justin Blackman. I don't know why I put those two names together. That's a throwback name that,
that
I don't think anyone's heard
that
in a while.
Is.
But is Bateman going to be able to be healthy? Is Odell going to be able to be healthy? Is J.K. Dobbins going to be able to be healthy? Like, they have a solid defense in Baltimore, even though it did take a step back without Wink Martindale.
Absolutely.
And now it's like, okay, there's a lot of questions on if this happens in Baltimore. That's why I think it's imperative that Baltimore, in these next 2 days, when there's a lot of wheeling and dealing, and you have guys available, whether it's an Austin Eckler, maybe someone like Dalvin Cook or Joe Mixon that could become available, and probably not Joe Mixon because it's in division with the Bengals, but they got to do something else. If that's getting a deal done for Buda Baker, even if it's on the defense side of the ball, getting DeAndre Hopkins to go there, because right now they have a good team. They have a team that can make the playoffs. It's not a slam dunk, but they can make the playoffs, but it's not just good enough to make the playoffs when you know a team like Kansas City, who doesn't even have the best roster in the world, but they have the best quarterback in the league right now, they have the best tight end in the league right now, and today, entering 2023, you could even make the case that they have the best coach in the league, and look how many times Kansas City gets behind the eight ball, and they still find a way to come back from, what, 24 points or whatever it was against the Texans, 10 points in a Super Bowl two times. And that makes it even tougher where you got to have a locked and loaded roster. And the Ravens, you're like now on the clock. It's one thing to pay Lamar Jackson, but now we got to see better players around him instead of all these, can they be good or will they be good or if they're going to be good.
Right, expectations change. It's kind of like when you draft someone. Like, when you draft a quarterback in the first round, you expect them to be the franchise guy. You expect a lot. But if you get a guy in the third round, it's, okay, expectations are lower. And if you get, you know, production, it's, oh, wow, this is great. When you pay a quarterback, or at least the process leading up to paying a quarterback, it's, oh, I hope they continue to develop, or, oh, our window is open, like, this is going to be great. And then as soon as you put the name on the contract and as soon as you sign it, now all of a sudden the future is right now. Now it's every single year the pressure's on. We expect a lot. And like I said, it's truly going forward now, whether you are a Super Bowl caliber team or not, every year in Baltimore, now with this contract done for the next 5 years, is going to be Super Bowl or bust.
By the way, we have a source off. We always love a source off.
Yes.
We just told you about Mike Florio saying that you have Tennessee trying to move up to the third pick and maybe DeAndre Hopkins going to Tennessee as well. Ian Rappaport, he chimes in and he says, not so fast. While the Titans have had conversations about a potential trade up to number 3, among other spots, they have not had conversations centered around star wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. So a little Florio and Rappaport fight coming up at this big NFL draft, I could say.
The good news is we will know quickly who is right and who is wrong. When you're on the clock at number 3, we will know, is Florio going to be right? Is Rappaport going to be right? This is not going to be a storyline that's going to drag out for days and weeks.
And that's actually ironic that you say that, because I thought if Hopkins was going to get dealt, it was going to be tomorrow night in day 2 when the second and third round comes your way, because Hopkins isn't going for a first-round pick, but now that he may be in a deal for the number 3 overall spot, that's okay.
Yeah.
Everyone, you know, sit on the edge of their seats, getting ready to see if Hopkins is going to be traded along, in that deal to then also have Tennessee move up to 3. And Tennessee is sitting there, and I guess they're telling you, we're not rebuilding right now just based off that report. Now, maybe they get a quarterback for the future.
I was going to say.
They have Ryan Tannehill there. It doesn't look like they're going to trade Derrick Henry, even though they should, and Derrick Henry should want out. But they were idiots last year, and they were at the draft, and this is a move I hated when they, even though it worked out well for the Eagles, they traded A.J. Brown, and they weren't able to replace or even come close to replacing that production.
Right.
So if you're going to keep Derrick Henry, you better be doing whatever it takes to get into a position to once again contend or give yourself a thought of contending, because we all know Ryan stinking Tannehill, even though he got to an AFC championship game, he's not winning a Super Bowl in this league. All righty, we'll take a time out here live in Kansas City for the 2023 NFL Draft. Zach Gelb here with you. You can always give me a follow on Instagram and Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We are live today, just the Zach Gelb Show, from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern, and then coming your way at 8 p.m. Eastern all the way through the conclusion of the first round, all 31 picks this year, because the Dolphins were a bunch of cheaters. You know, whenever the Patriots get accused of cheating or get suspended for cheating, everyone goes into the draft, oh, the cheating Patriots. They found a way to get a draft pick taken away. It's funny, the Dolphins who were cheating, the Dolphins who were illegally tampering, the Dolphins who were schmoozing with Tom Brady, my guy, all of a sudden, no one's calling the Dolphins cheaters. The Dolphins are cheaters. They don't have a first-round draft pick this year, so there's only 31 picks in the draft. And I'll say it if people won't, the Dolphins cheated. So wear that one, Miami. Go pop some champagne bottles again, because that's usually the only time we hear from you when the 72 Dolphins celebrate other teams losing. Zach Gelb here with you in Kansas City, and then coming your way, let me finish my sentence. I'm going like a million miles an hour. At 8 p.m. Eastern, it'll be myself, JR, and also Andrew Perloff anchoring the coverage for all 31 picks of the NFL Draft. Let's get time out. We'll come on back in 5 minutes right here in Kansas City, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio.
Live from Kansas City, site of the 2023 NFL Draft, here is Zach Gelb.
All right, welcome back in. CBS Sports Radio's coverage of the 2023 NFL Draft in Kansas City. Hickey, I'm actually very proud of you today, because when we went for brunch, which was a big lunch this morning, I was very surprised that you ordered actual wings. You didn't do the chicken tenders or the boneless wings, as you like to call them. Then you looked at the, what was it, a carrot cake cupcake?
Yes.
That was recommended for you to try, and you're like, I'm not going to try that. And I go, just shut up and try it. And you ate the carrot cake cupcake, and you said that it was absolutely delicious. And now we're going to really see if you could go for the hat trick.
Okay.
The hat trick today, let's go. Because I have a little bit of hockey on my mind with the Rangers playing
today.
Later.
Okay, let's.
You got to be on kind of crowd control today.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm going to be nice here. I was told to shout out three very young Kansas City Chiefs fans, DJ, Mason, and Aaliyah, but once you open up Pandora's box and be the good guy, then you're going to have every single person running over and asking for a shout out. So you got to kind of be like the bouncer here today.
I not learned allow any my of the lesson fun. From
you
last
gotta
year. You got
to be the big bad bully and be the jerk.
Look, there's one reason why I was brought here.
You
it's the muscle.
You need to be like Hopkins and just start taking steroids, all right?
It's the muscle, right? I am the body. When you look at me, I'm physically imposing at 5'11 and 170 pounds. No
there's
one wants to get close.
There's string beans that are more imposing than you.
So, yes, I am here not to produce, not to assist for the draft show or anything else. I am here pure muscle to intimidate anyone and everyone that wants to come close to the draft set. It's already working. It's already working, folks. I'm making magic here.
I think this kid in the Humphrey jersey right now could kick your ass, if we're being honest.
You are double my size, and I am your bodyguard.
He's 12. He could pancake your ass in a second.
Probably.
There's no doubt about it. He would destroy you.
That's why I don't fight anybody. I keep to myself.
Well, awesome.
I don't say any bad words to anyone, and I just have no one try to fight me.
We could have a viral video if you did try to fight back a 12-year-old. It wouldn't be good for your career. His parents giving me the thumbs up, and he would allow it, but I think you would get fired.
Yeah. So that would, you know, a lot of things would not go well. So I'm going to pass on that. But, yes, I will be Zach Gelb's bodyguard here for the 2 days we were on site, and I can't wait.
That would be great if we get, like, free Hickey trending on Twitter.
No, that would not be.
You would really be the bad boy of radio, though.
No one would be on my side. So, like, the free Hickey would be, like, just from me, because everyone would be like, oh, yeah, that guy's in the wrong. He deserves to be in jail. I would probably even say, I'm in the wrong myself. Don't help me out. But, yes, that is all not going to happen because, again, this is not a real situation.
I'm telling you.
We got in trouble yesterday with hypotheticals. We're not going to do it again today.
This 12-year-old looks like he could pick you up and give you a swirly in one of those porta-potties.
Probably. That's why I don't fight anybody. That's why I don't do it.
We know your team is a big topic of conversation in this NFL draft.
Say the least.
We've had a lot of fun at your expense, and now we are getting closer and closer to find out who the Indianapolis Colts do select. But there's a lot of intrigue until you get to 4. All we think we know right now is that Bryce Young is going 1, and he's going to be going to the Carolina Panthers. It appears, not a lock, but it appears that the Houston Texans are going to select a non-quarterback at 2. Is that Tyree Wilson? Is that Will Anderson Jr.? You get to the 3rd pick. If the Texans make the pick, I do think we will see one trade in the top three. You know the Panthers already traded up to one, so I'm talking two and three. There's been a lot of juicy rumors out there about the Arizona Cardinals maybe trading back in the draft. Tennessee's been floated out there with maybe, depending on which insider you believe, DeAndre Hopkins as well to go to Tennessee, and Tennessee moves into the three spot. So all you know when we're trying to fill out the blanks, one, Bryce Young to the Carolina Panthers.
Right.
Two, three, and then four when your team comes there. Who's the dream for you tonight? A long-suffering, disgusting Indianapolis Colts fan that has been telling me for months, oh, they're going to trade up and they're going to get Bryce Young with the number one pick. Wrong. And now we're going to see what your team does, because I don't think your team's trading up tonight, right?
No, I think I could guarantee. They are not trading up to number three.
So who is it
going to
be?
Or number two.
Are we going to, you know they're taking a quarterback.
Yes.
Are the Colts going to get C.J. Stroud? Is it going to be Will Levis? Is it going to be Anthony Richardson? Who is going to be the pick for the Colts in at number four? And I really, I hope you stay right where you're sitting. And I know Perloff and JR are going to join me. I think we'll have JR, Perloff, whoever, you know, whoever sit to the right of me, because I want to be right next to you to get the experience of when the Indianapolis Colts make the number four overall pick, because I want to see the emotions and I want to basically feel the emotions sitting right next to you, because I have a feeling tonight you're not going to be happy. And if you're not usually happy, then the opposite usually happens, and then you will be happy down the road because you are a mush. The hickey hex is in full force.
Wow.
So I'll shut up now. You tell me, take me through your emotions and who you think will, not should, but will be the number four overall pick for those disgusting Indianapolis Colts.
I think it will be Anthony Richardson, quarterback, Florida. The Colts will not trade up, even if C.J. Stroud is sitting there at number three. I don't think they're going to trade up for any quarterback. I don't. If the Titans
what happens
do
if
trade
Stroud
up,
is there at four? You don't think Stroud's
even if
be there
Stroud
at four?
Is there at four, I think they would take Richardson over Stroud.
Really?
I do. I think the only situation the Colts get Stroud is if Richardson goes 3-2, whether it's the Titans, whether it's another team that trades up, whether it's the Texans throwing a complete curveball now and going quarterback at number two. That, to me, is the only way we'll see C.J. Stroud go to the Colts is if Richardson is not there. But I think Richardson is number one on the Colts board, and I think at number four, we'll see him drafted to the Colts.
I think you're dead wrong on that.
Wow, okay.
We
have our own little source off.
I don't know. This is not
source. Well, opinion off, I guess.
This is just gut feel. There's some days that I have sources. Today is not one of those days. But at pick number four, there's been a lot, and I mean a lot of noise about Will Levis. I know you don't have a crush on Will Levis.
No.
But I think the Colts have a crush on Will Levis, and it would annoy you and upset you if Will Levis, who has been on this show multiple times,
nice
never
guy.
Said anything bad about him when he comes on this show.
Well, he's a nice guy.
So you're just someone that stabs people in the back the minute when they walk away.
No, no. I would never do that.
I really do believe that your former Penn State guy in Will Levis is going to wind up with your football team, and tomorrow you'll be putting mayo in coffee and eating bananas with the peel on them.
Here's what I'll say about that. There, you are right. The Colts are the only team connected to Will Levis, and that is the name you hear at the Colts more often than not.
Yep.
Here's what I don't understand. The Colts are not saying anything. They have been tight-lipped throughout the entire process. If you go back to the head coaching search, nobody knew who the hell they liked. No one even knew half the time who they were even interviewing.
Destination.
Because they were secretive, and they were keeping everything under wraps.
Wait. Time out.
What?
You really think no one knew who the Colts are going to hire because they had their guy from the start? Is that
no,
what you're saying?
No. I'm saying no one had any intel who the Colts were liking.
It's because they got rejected more times than me at a bar on a Friday night.
No. It was the fact that they kept everything under wraps. It was a very long, excruciating long process at times.
Yeah, because they kept on getting rejected.
But they got their guy, and they didn't say anything to anybody. The same thing's going on here. They are not talking to anybody. They are not leaking out who they like. They are not leaking out who they do not like. I don't know where this Will Levis stuff is coming from. For me, it's probably his agent, and maybe it's someone else who is hoping the Colts take Will Levis and make a mistake. It is not coming from the Colts, and that's why I feel confident the one quarterback I don't think will be there, unless the only thing I will say, the only caveat I put to Levis at number four.
You always put a caveat on things.
Is if Stroud and Richardson go 2-3, whether it's the Texans and someone else, whether they both trade out, I would agree. If there's only Will Levis there at four, I think the Colts at this point are too in deep where they are going to take a quarterback at four almost no matter what.
They have to take a quarterback tonight.
But unless there is options there, or I'm assuming there are options there, I do not think it will be Will Levis at number four.
Like, for example, a team like Seattle doesn't have to take a quarterback tonight. You can make a case that they should.
Correct.
A team like the Detroit Lions doesn't have to take a quarterback tonight. They don't have to take a quarterback tonight, the Detroit Lions. Now, Jared Goff could be good for a year or two. Oh, no, it's different this year.
The Lions fans want the quarterback.
Yeah, trust me, you don't want the quarterbacks that are going to be available coming up later on in this draft. Now we're going to get harassed by a Lions fan here. This is crazy. You know what? I'm going to settle this. Go Blue, baby! Go Blue! Yeah, see, that's like the one thing, you know,
the
how to
healer,
make friends with every Lion fan in America. You just say Go Blue and you hope they
don't
root
for
Michigan
State. I will never do that.
But
that's
I don't
sure.
think a team like Seattle and the Lions have to take a quarterback. You know the Panthers have to, and they're going to take Bryce Young. But you look at a team like Indianapolis, those two teams are the two teams that have to take a quarterback tonight.
Yes.
I would have said the Texans, but it doesn't look like the Texans, at least with their first pick, maybe at 12, or they move back up in the first round. It doesn't look like the Texans are going to take a quarterback.
Right. I would agree with that. I think the two desperate teams, Panthers, Colts, everyone else, it's up and down. And that's why I'm hoping there will be options at number four and not just Will Levis.
Oh, you're hoping for something?
No one else. I always hope.
You know what I'm hoping for?
Here we go.
I'm hoping I go to NFL.com tonight. I go to NFL Shop.
Geez.
And just
because
I'm a kind human being, it's not because you wouldn't like this gift. I hope I'm making a custom. Oh, I don't even need to customize it if it happens. I'm hoping I'm getting you, a number 7? No one on the Colts wears 7, right? Or who cares if you have a new quarterback coming to town? A 7 Indianapolis Colts jersey for you to don, since you don't want him. And you know he's going to be your guy. You know that's happening.
I hope not, because I don't want to throw out a Colts jersey. I don't want to stomp on it or be upset. But unfortunately, that's a jersey I don't think I'll be wearing, because he will not be a Colt. So that's it. End of discussion.
Don't have to
worry about it.
My jersey gifts to you have been
pretty
good.
Don't have to worry about it.
I got
Quentin Nelson is fire.
28-3 Matt Ryan jersey,
which
I thought was a great jersey.
Thanks for that one.
I did get you a Russell Wilson Broncos jersey, which is a nice jersey, even though he was a terrible quarterback this year.
He was brutal.
I did get you a Quentin Nelson jersey, which you liked as well.
And unfortunately, he regressed this past
year.
So
let's keep the party going.
It's
let's
not,
see 10,
it's not
years
gone
of
well.
For the Colts.
It's not gone well.
I'm telling you, Will Levis to the Colts, that would be awesome just for our show. Maybe not for your mental health, maybe not for the future of your football team, but for our show, it would be great. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio, live in Kansas City for the 2023 NFL Draft. Coming up at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, JR will join me along with Andrew Perloff, and we will give you every pick in the first round of the NFL Draft from the podium to you, all 31 picks. When we come on back, we're talking about these quarterbacks. Where's Anthony Richardson going? How about Will Levis? You also have Hendon Hooker, but I think the most intriguing quarterback, because you know that Bryce Young is going one, is where the heck is C.J. Stroud going to land tonight? Zach Gelb here with you in Kansas City. Let's send it back to our New York City studios for the latest CBS Sports Radio update. Is this the Ackman we got? All right, the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Live from Kansas City, site of the 2023 NFL Draft, here is Zach Gelb.
All right, welcome back in. 2023 NFL Draft right here on CBS Sports Radio. Zach Gelb live in Kansas City, coming up at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We'll have some friends join the show as we will broadcast each and every pick to you for the first 31 picks in the NFL Draft tonight. Andrew Perloff from the Maggie and Perloff Show will be joining us, and JR from the great JR Sport Brief Extravaganza will be stopping by as well. I don't even think this is up for debate, Hickey. And we know Bryce Young is going one. But after that, every night and every year, there's a big story in the NFL draft. Clearly, Lamar Jackson is an enormous one. But it's just the end of a game of tug of war, really, between Lamar and the Baltimore Ravens. And sure, it's a big deal today when he gets a 5-year, $260 million contract for $185 million guaranteed. But when we get to the players this year in the draft, the player that I'm most excited about, the player I'm most intrigued about, just where he's going to go, is C.J. Stroud. Because if you tell me that C.J. Stroud goes 2 to the Texans tonight, I wouldn't be stunned. Even though everyone's telling you that's not going to happen and the Texans are probably going to pass on a quarterback at 2. But that really hasn't changed until the last week and a half or so nationally. But then if he doesn't go 2, and let's say the Cardinals don't make a trade at 3, and then your Colts, who have a crush on Will Levis or Anthony Richardson, take a quarterback at four, then you get into the game of how far does C.J. Stroud, who a month and a half ago, was maybe thought to be the number one overall pick, even though we were both thinking it should be Bryce Young, and that's going to be a moment in the green room tonight where you wonder if he's not through the first four picks, who's the team that ends up biting and taking an opportunity on C.J. Stroud?
I think his floor is 11 with Tennessee, assuming that they don't trade up and move up. I think that does change the calculus and does change how high he can go. But I don't think he will fall further than 11 if that's where the Titans do end up staying and pickings. I think if he's sitting there at 11 and the Titans reportedly are interested in moving up to three, which you would presume they would do so to take a quarterback, not take Will Anderson Jr.
And I would actually presume that it would be for C.J. Stroud.
Wouldn't you? Him or...
Because you hear at bare minimum, Anthony Richardson or Will Levis are a one-year project. So
right.
You can make the case Tannehill plays this year, and then you go to the quarterback the year after that. But I don't know how much Tennessee's in love with Ryan Tannehill anymore. So you may say, okay, in an ideal world, you have Tannehill for one more year, and then you go to someone else. But how does that put you in the best position to win this year when right now you don't have a stud number one wide receiver? If they get DeAndre Hopkins, it changes things. You have Derrick Henry, who's still a stud, but is only getting older. You have a team that has gone through a little bit of an overhaul. So I still think Mike Vrabel's come off to me as someone that is planning to rebuild. Maybe it's more reloading, but he's always going to be super competitive. And maybe I'll be dead wrong, I would be surprised if Tennessee, who, even though they can play Tannehill early on, I think at some point it's inevitable that quarterback would take over, would go Anthony Richardson or will go Will Levis. And remember, Mike Vrabel, Mr. Ohio State, big Ohio State guy, and there was that report out that he's been doing all of his due diligence recently, talking to Ohio State and figuring out why people have or the feeling is that C.J. Stroud is falling. And I always wonder how much of that stuff is true. Because there's different what fans say.
Right.
There's different what media says. And then it's actually what the teams say. So I don't even know if C.J. Stroud's going to fall. But if Tennessee's taking a quarterback at three, if they move up, I got to think personally that it's going to be C.J. Stroud.
Two things working for Stroud in his favor in terms of going to the Titans over Anthony Richardson. Number one, they can get out of the Ryan Tannehill contract very easily. He's got 1 year left. If they cut him, trade him, it's $18 million in dead cap, which, look, in today's day and age, when it comes to quarterbacks and moving off from them early, that is a bargain. $18 million, say thanks, but no thanks, Ryan Tannehill. See you later. That's easy. So that's number one, where if you want to get C.J. Stroud, you're not going to draft C.J. Stroud, put him on the bench for a year, and have Ryan Tannehill play. You're going to move off of Ryan Tannehill. Very manageable to do so. Number two, go back to last year's draft. Now, it was in the third round, so it wasn't as impactful, wasn't as high stakes. They took Malik Willis, who was deemed a project coming out of Liberty and was deemed a huge question mark. That failed so spectacularly that it took, 14 games for them to lose faith and have to sign Joshua Dobbs, who eventually started what was a de facto playoff game in week 18 to get the Titans into the playoffs. They opted for Joshua Dobbs over a guy that was there for 2 weeks compared to a guy that's in your building the entire year. So I don't think if you are Mike Vrabel, you just kind of took a project, granted, a low-risk project in Malik Willis, and that failed so big that you would then all of a sudden get back on the horse,
but
take another project
John Robinson
and Anthony Richardson. That's a fair point. Maybe that's your right. It's a GM move.
Because it seems like Vrabel and John Robinson didn't see eye to eye anymore.
Correct.
And the depth of that relationship started a year ago when they didn't pay A.J. Brown. Because you know for a fact, there is no way Mike Vrabel was cool with the A.J. Brown trade.
I would 100% agree with that. Now, with that said, if Mike Vrabel is more of the win now category, which I think he is,
yeah,
C.J. Stroud, you come in and play right away. Mike Richardson, he's going to have to sit, and it's going to be a project. So you have to think bare minimum.
Or maybe it's like a situation where it's Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, where Trubisky plays the first few games, and they just don't want to put the quarterback out there right away, and I don't like this, and then you end up putting Pickett in game three or four.
But at least Kenny Pickett was considered more
pro-ready,
right, at pick 20 last year for the Steelers compared to Anthony Richardson. So, like, if you play this year or not, would you say bare minimum, if Anthony Richardson goes to the Titans, would you say 3 years, realistically, before you can consider the Titans a legitimate threat, like in terms of development, and if you had to map it out of, okay, year one's probably going to be a washer. He plays a little bit. That can be great. Year two, you kind of still get the bumps out. He's going to start the
first year. Well, I don't believe in Anthony Richardson either way.
Okay, but if he was going to pan out, you would think if he's going to pan out and your plan is it's going to be a three-year plan, that's a pretty long plan for Mike Vrabel to be like, oh, yeah, that's not something I think he would want to sign
up for. Okay, so you're talking Richardson, not Stroud. If they do draft
Richardson. Right, you play right away.
Yeah, if they draft Richardson, I think you could go in with the mindset of him sitting this year, and it's kind of a wash if everything lines up. Fans aren't calling for Richardson. Tannehill doesn't crap the bed. He doesn't get hurt as well. So I think you get this year as a wash, and then it would be the year after that he starts to play. Rookie year, you never know how that's going to go.
Right.
And then you're right. It's the year after that where you're like, okay, now it's time to shine.
Right.
And to
me, 3 years.
I don't believe in the projects. I'm not big on the projects. 3 years, all that. If you're an NFL organization, you should be. Doesn't always happen this way. But you should be able to not mess up your young quarterback. Happens a lot, though.
It does. More times than not. That's for sure. It's hard to do.
I don't think if Tennessee wants Stroud, I don't think they go 8 to 11. Because even if he falls, even if he gets past 4, then a team like Seattle could take him. Even though they have Geno Smith. A team like the Lions, who I just got in that fight with that Lions fan, could take him even though they have Jared Goff. Because you have a guy that could have been the number one overall pick. And even though he's NFL ready and ready to go, it's like you got to look at the value there for a guy like that. And then more importantly, if he gets past 6, 7, or 8, Raiders, I know you can say the same thing with Jimmy G, but what the lowest that Stroud could fall is Atlanta. Because if the Falcons see Stroud at 8, and we know they drafted, right, Drake London, we know they have Kyle Pitts, but if they're there at 8 and you have C.J. Stroud there, you're really going to let the unknown of Desmond Ridder prevent you from taking C.J. Stroud, who I think most people right now believe Desmond Ridder, if he is starting this year, this should be his last year starting with the Atlanta Falcons. If Stroud is there at 8 and you don't take in the Atlanta Falcons, I'd fire everyone tomorrow. We know that won't happen, but that's what I would do if I'm Arthur Blank. I'd walk down to that room and fire everyone tomorrow if Stroud's there. They don't take him at 8. Coming on back from Kansas City, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.